Thank you, Dr. Prakash. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah Scandora, and from the Johns Hopkins University Center for Communication Programs in Baltimore, Maryland, as Dr. Prakash has already said. I'm here today presenting on some recent qualitative research that we've conducted in Uganda looking at mosquito net care and repair behaviors in two districts in central eastern Uganda. A similar study has also been conducted in Nigeria. And this study originally was intended to be a formative study, but after the data came back from Nigeria, we realized that particularly repair behaviors, where it's such a base level of knowledge, a lot of people didn't even understand or know that you could repair a net, so that we thought that we would do a qualitative assessment after the behavior change communication had been going on for a period of time to actually see and do a more in-depth look into how people are actually internalizing the behaviors and whether the BCC campaign was having an impact. So just to take a step back, the reason that we're so interested in looking at these behaviors is that net durability is increasingly recognized as a critical factor for maintaining high universal coverage, and universal coverage is one net for every two people. And there have been, as probably many of you know, many mass distribution campaigns throughout sub-Saharan Africa, but they're very expensive, they're logistically challenging, and we also don't know how often we need to do them, because we really don't know how long the nets last under field conditions. There's just really not a lot of data on this up to this point, and also how behavior change communications can impact the durability of those nets under field conditions. So just a bit of the study timeline. The study is actually a mixed methods study. It has qualitative and quantitative components. There were net distributions in September and October in Uganda, and then there was a baseline quantitative survey in December of 2012, and then there will be an end-line quantitative survey in April of 2014. And really, the quantitative survey is using a proportional whole index, which is a methodology developed by Albert Killian to actually look at the size of holes and to sort of determine a threshold at which point a net is no longer effective against preventing malaria, to try to get at this in a more of a quantitative way. So you'll notice that the qualitative assessment there was conducted in September, and the BCC campaign started in June, so that's a three-month lag, and then the campaign will go on, and this data is being used to inform the campaign and refine the campaign materials, and then it will end in April, and there'll be the end line assessment. Just a bit of background on the BCC campaign. Key messages are how to repair the net, washing and caring for the net, and different behaviors to promote, such as washing only when the net is dirty, no more than once every 3 months, washing gently with mild soap, repairing, inspecting the net daily for damage, repairing holes immediately as soon as you see them, and then promoting tying knots, stitching, or patching the net. And then the benefits of care and repair, of course, preventing malaria and getting a good night's sleep. So as you can see, the two campaign slogans are care, repair, protect, and then silent nights, happy days. So kind of playing on this idea that we've seen a lot, that people say, yes, nets are beneficial for malaria prevention, but it also helps me sleep well. So that's really why I want to use my net. The primary audience are mothers and primary school children, and then a secondary audience of men. And then the activities are mass media, radio spots, which are two sort of slice of life interactions, one with a young girl and her mother talking about what she learned in school about how to take care of her net, and then one with a sort of naughty boy who doesn't want to take care of his net and how he has a fever and possibly has malaria. And then also community mobilization activities, so district and regional song competitions, also home visits by village health volunteers where they sort of demonstrate the care and repair behaviors and then ask, field questions from people in the household. Also large community events, compound dialogues, and then school activities. There's some photos at the bottom there. There's a regional competition where they're sort of demonstrating how to, put up the net and how to care for it, and then a sew and stitch competition at one of the schools. So for this study, because it sort of was delayed several times, we weren't exactly sure what we would be talking about. We knew that the data would be coming in very close to when the presentation would happen, but in the baseline survey, we saw that out of 1,429 nets that were assessed for physical damage, 171 of them had holes, and this was 3 months after. but only 9 of those had shown signs of repair. So, you know, we didn't see a lot of repair happening. And then out of 829 of the nets had ever been washed, and 116 of them were washed more than twice, suggesting that some nets might be being overwashed. So we thought for this assessment we'd look specifically at repair and washing behaviors and see what came of them. Again, so sort of have already gone over this, but so really the aims of the assessment are to assess the impact of the behavior change communication in two districts in central eastern Uganda, Sirere, which is the intervention district, and Kalira, which is the control district, and then also to provide this qualitative ethnographic context for understanding these net user care and repair practices. The methods are household in-depth interviews, and they're very in-depth. They're actually, it's a 60 to 90 minutes. They were more like almost 2 hours. So we asked, you know, respondents many questions on care and repair behaviors, but also asked them to demonstrate for us, and we took photos and video. And this is sort of a triangulation method, because often when you have somebody tell you what they do, it's different than what they actually do when they show you. So an example would be, you know, we ask, show us how you hang the net. You know, they'll tell you, I just hang it on the line. But when you ask them, they'll actually, you know, take it outside and hang it in the sun. And we know that that can damage a net. So things like that that you pick up in an observation that you wouldn't necessarily pick up just by somebody telling you. And then our sample size, a total of 30. We did 10 with men, 10 with women, and then 10 with women with children under 5. And so there have only been 12 transcripts analyzed to date for this particular presentation. So the remaining 18 are going to be analyzed soon. So just some preliminary findings regarding roles and causes of damage. Women were primarily responsible for caring and repairing. This is something that we've sort of known. Men also express support for women to do care and repair. Some say they do, they actually do repair and have the ability to do it. Causes of damage, primarily children. We've seen this in other studies. And that's without probing. And then with some structured probing, people will say, you know, rough surfaces, and then also rats. And other rodents is a thing that often comes up. And actually, one of my colleagues is here sort of laughing because this has been something that they said, we really want you to do this study on, you know, our rats. This kept coming up in our transcripts. And so we finally sort of looked into it. And it actually really does appear that rodents in the home are really a big issue and cause holes in nets. Let's see. And washing often did not come up as a cause of damage. And this was, it wasn't perceived as a cause of damage. So people, as I'll mention as I go forward, that people really saw washing as sort of as part of routine care. And there appeared to be consensus on the roles and causes of damage in both districts. There wasn't much difference. Regarding repair, some barriers that repairing makes the net look bad, that continual repairing, you know, makes the net smaller. And there's a photo, it's sort of hard to see in the right corner there, with a net that's been knotted several times. You can see it's now sort of too small to be tucked in. So several people said that. And then also too many holes was a barrier, that a net at some point reaches a point where they're just too damaged and people don't see a need to actually repair it anymore. Not identified as barriers were the lack of material and inability to sew, so that's a good thing. And then motivators, preventing malaria. And then there was actually a strong sort of social norm against having a dirty net, that having a, you know, unkept net was seen as a mark against mark against you as a person. Also to save money on purchasing a net and then on malaria treatment. And then also the perception that repair is not time consuming. So that, it, you know, really this isn't a barrier, that repair is only seen to take 5 to 10 minutes, regardless of the method. Regarding care, there were many more responses concerning care, and this is, we thought, probably because you know, a lot more people are doing one or more care behaviors versus you're either repairing or you're not. And as we saw in Nigeria, a lot of people just don't know that you can repair. They think if they take a needle to their net or they do anything to it, you know, it could damage the net, or they just, it's just not something that people think they can do. And then most often cited were sort of tying up a net in the morning. And there's a photo of a net like rolled up. We saw a lot of them like that. And then washing, careful handling around rough edges. And then this idea of washing as part of routine care, which I'll show you some quotes in a minute that are sort of interesting. And then barriers, there really weren't many. Really the only one was that, you know, putting away a net is time consuming every day, this kind of constant behavior that you have to do if you have to get out to the field, sort of time consuming. motivators without a clean, well-cared-for net makes you feel good, and then avoiding the social stigma of having an unkept net. Some interesting responses concerning washing that we thought were potentially misconceptions or issues that could potentially be contributing to, you know, the durability of the net. It was that washing is sort of seen as part of routine care. So the interviewer asks, who in this house is responsible for taking care of the net? And the respondent says, which type of responsibility, washing it, or apart from washing it, what else is done to the net to care for it? And then some other misconceptions or perceptions are that the net is viewed as a type of sort of clothing and that it should be treated in the same way. So the interviewer says, how do you know when the net needs washing? The respondent says, you just see it. I mean, when a net is dirty, it is visible. Like you wash clothes when they are dirty, the net also has to be treated alike. And then this idea that washing prolongs the lifespan of a net, we actually had quite a few responses to that effect, and that, again, washing to avoid the social stigma of having an unkept net. So some messaging implications regarding these findings are that there were really no major change in the behaviors that we're promoting. General knowledge of care and repair is present, and the preliminary evidence suggests that there's more knowledge in the intervention district, but we have to do a more in-depth analysis. Also, preliminary evidence suggests that care and repair behaviors are greater in the intervention district. So more of a focus on attitudes and this perceived risk, you know, the cost and the of malaria. And then using interpersonal communication for more complex messaging, such as getting at the age-appropriate ways to, you know, prevent damage by kids, and then building on the social norms aspect, and then also leveraging the social norms of against dirtiness and holes. So some conclusions that the campaign is reaching the target audience. All but one of the six respondents could recall the campaign strongly in the intervention district. Cleanliness is very important to respondents, and PCC might be able to mitigate some of those causes, but obviously we can't change the physical environment in the home. People live in a home with a dirt floor. There's not much we can do about that. Radio activities have good reach, but they should be complemented with interpersonal activities to get at those more complex messaging. Some strengths and limitations, again, this combining the IDIs with the direct observation, we think this will really give us a really in-depth look at the behaviors. However, it's a small sample size, and for purposes of today, it's a preliminary analysis and not necessarily generalizable. Some additional recommendations that are sort of more longer term are recommending manufacturers develop, you know, new and improved technologies for nets to last longer than 20 washes. If people really feel the need to wash their net, well then, let's see how we can make the nets better so that they can wash them more. And then research into how household washing practices can be modified to fall within that recommendation of one net every 3 months, one wash every 3 months. And then recommending to HOPIS, I think that's how you say it, that's the World Health Organization pesticide evaluation scheme, to change the minimum standards to include, you know, procuring nets with color so that dirt will be less apparent. And that's all I have. Thank you.